talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yo, man, it's a lot of brothers out there flaking and perpetrating, but scared to kick reality.
Yo, Dre, you've been doing all this dope producing. You had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad Boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Are you running out of options in your fight against foo? At Grohl, Hawkins, Mendel, Shiflett, Smear & Associates, we've been fighting foo for over 25 years.
We'll fight foo day and night to make sure you receive the compensation that you deserve.
Don't try and fight foo by yourself. Call our toll-free number today.
Just listen to this satisfied customer.
Because I've been an editor for 9 years. I edit other bands' videos in Brooklyn, and I edit my own. It's not
you made this video?
Obviously.
Whoa, you got butt slam!
And now,
Weenie and the Butt.
In the morning.
On the radio.
Our feature presentation.
That was Lana Del Rey. Yeah.
Sure, I remember listening to that and laughing in my car.
It was a weird second where she was just like, obviously, like she, I didn't know if she was going to punch us or walk out. I'm not sure.
Obviously.
I still enjoyed her appearance and I'm still a big fan of her and her music.
Mm-hmm. Would you have if she was not hot?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. I think she's a really interesting artist.
Right.
I'm serious.
Same.
That's adorable.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. It's the 19th of October.
Allie and I were just talking about how great this fall weather's starting to feel. I mean, it's really, you know, you get into Halloween, you start thinking about your costume. It's so nice. You got a break with the weather. You don't have to worry about being hot that night. Just wear whatever you want. A lot of options open now.
It's been pretty hot, hasn't it?
It's great.
It's going to get hotter.
Hasn't really cooled down.
Just such a breeze. Today. Sleeping with your doors and windows open.
That was like, it was like 12 hours, maybe
it felt real
four
good.
Days ago.
Yeah, it felt real
just,
good.
We're dipped below 90, and it was like, oh, this is so great.
What's going on?
I hate it.
What's seriously?
DiCaprio.
Though, what's
is it
DiCaprio
him?
Freaking Leo's fault?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When's it supposed
global
to
global warming?
And if ever, I mean, are we now looking at like Thanksgivings are going to be 90 soon? Is that where is that the direction we're headed? Because we're getting Halloween is going to be 90.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Speaking of heat, I was thinking about this, Kevin. You were out the day that the Beer Mug ate the what did he eat? He ate the hot what? Was it a pepper?
Yes, Carolina Reaper.
Carolina Reaper. Chip. Yeah. What's the what's going on with people who do that? What do you think? What do you think is happening to those? Because it's not just him. There's hundreds and hundreds of videos of people doing the same thing.
Yeah.
What's the challenge there to do something to your body that you know is going to really, really hurt? I mean, you don't see people going, I'm going to put this knife through my hand because I can and it's going to hurt and it's dumb, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why do they eat the peppers?
I think for two reasons. There's a little bit of look at me.
Uh-huh.
But there's also the I'm watching other people do it and I wonder if I could – if I could succeed where they failed. I wonder if I could take on that chip and not, you know, blow up.
But even if you
or whatever happened to those people.
Even if you do that, even if you successfully eat the pepper,
right.
Okay, all you've done is injure yourself. All you've done is make yourself uncomfortable.
Right.
What's the draw there?
Some
to
people like
feel
a challenge.
Bad.
No, it's not to feel bad. It's just a challenge. It's the same thing with every one of those things that goes around. What was the cinnamon.
Oh, cinnamon challenge.
Yes. Cinnamon challenge. It's all the same thing. It's basically, I wonder if I can do what everybody else seems to be failing at.
I'm going to make myself miserable and you can't stop me.
Well, no, it's not make yourself miserable. It's do something that other people can't do. Miserable is a side effect.
I see.
That's not the goal.
Well, there's a story in the news today that made me think of Muggs eating the chip. This is a here's a quote from a Louisiana pepper grower. His name is Ronald Prumeau. He says, when you eat those ghost peppers and other super hot peppers, your body thinks it's going to die. You're not going to die. He has something called the Louisiana Creeper, by the way. He says, you put one of these in your mouth, it's a whole other ball game.
That's Bean's new nickname.
Louisiana Creeper.
Louisiana Creeper.
He says, it's like a bear is chasing you. It's like you've just been in a car wreck. You've just got caught speeding, and a cop has given you a ticket. That's what this one feels like.
Oh, God.
So there's a story in the Journal of Emergency Medicine about a 47-year-old man, unnamed in the article, who attempted to eat a hamburger served with a ghost pepper puree. Or is it puree?
Puree.
Puree, right? And it tore a hole in his esophagus. That's not – you don't expect
wow.
that. That's not what you think is going to happen at the end of that, right?
I can't imagine.
Physicians at the University of California at San Francisco reported in the case study that he consumed the burger and attempted to quench the heat in his mouth with 6 glasses of water.
That's
now, when Muggs was doing his nonsense last week, Allie, didn't we determine that water was not the answer?
Yeah, you want milk, right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure why that is, but water makes it worse. Milk makes it better.
Yeah.
When that failed, the man began to vomit, which gave way to abdominal pain. He dialed 911. At the emergency department, he was given Maalox and painkillers. After his condition worsened, doctors moved him into the operating room,
wow.
where they discovered a 2.5-centimeter tear in the distal esophagus.
Wow.
The force of the vomiting and retching led to a rare diagnosis of Boerhaave's syndrome. These spontaneous tears in the esophagus can be fatal if they're not diagnosed and treated. So it sounds like it was the throwing up that ripped
yeah,
open his esophagus.
The acid in the throw up.
He yacked too hard
yes.
to live.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's not a positive.
But Kevin, you've heard of people, and in fact this happened to me one time, who sneeze and break a rib. You know,
yeah.
Everybody's connected.
I have heard of that.
It did happen to me.
Oh, my
right.
God.
The rupture was a result of forceful vomiting and retching, says UC San Francisco clinical fellow and study author Ann Ahrens, the result of eating the hamburger with the ghost pepper puree. In this case, surgeons were able to repair the man's throat. He remained intubated until hospital day 14.
Whoa.
Wow.
Began to tolerate liquids on day 17 and was discharged home with a gastric tube in place on day 23.
Oh, my
so
God.
So let's think about that for a second. 1 minute, the guy's going, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to have this hamburger. I bet it's going to be hot. And 3 weeks later, when he's getting out of the hospital, he can't have imagined that was going to happen.
That's nuts.
Food challenges have become common among social media, including the infamous Cinnamon Challenge.
Sure.
That led to an emergency, plenty of emergency room calls and at least one collapsed lung, by the way, from the Cinnamon Challenge.
Those examples have to be the exceptions, though. I mean,
very rare.
So many people tried that and either failed or didn't. But
and finally, Dr. Aaron says, when people ask me whether it's safe to try spicy food challenges, I take the Nancy Reagan stance and just say no. But if you really can't help yourself, I would recommend just starting with a taste. So maybe the full-on puree with the ghost pepper on the hamburger is not the way to go. But, man, talk about...
Penciling that in for tomorrow, beer mug?
You know, we always talk about on this show about those moments in your life where you're highest and you're happiest, and then 1 second later you can't believe how badly things have gone?
Yeah.
That sounds like this is one of those deals.
Although you sort of... I mean, you know that that's going to be really difficult. At least you know that going into it.
Right.
So you're not completely surprised.
But you think what you're in your mind, you're imagining 5 minutes from now, I'm going to be such a baller and the hero to all my friends.
Yeah, and instead.
You know what I mean? For doing this. Instead, you're on the phone with 911.
Instead, you've got the death yak,
right.
Which is not what anyone wants.
I hope Louisiana Creeper opens for the death yak.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
Oh, there it is.
Allie was at the dentist recently. You were getting your teeth cleaned?
Yes.
And she had a very important question, which is, where do you look?
Yeah.
What's...
Because you can't look right in their eyes, because then they're locked in and you're locked in. And it's like, hey, what are you feeling?
That kind of eye contact is a little scary for people.
So close.
Yeah.
And it was a new dentist and ugh. Ugh.
But depending on how hot the hygienist is, where don't you look is another question.
It's true. Right.
Got to be careful.
Right. Louisiana Creeper. Bead makes his guess on the program today.
Oh, it's going to be very controversial today.
Oh,
it's a terrible list, isn't it?
No, it's a fine list. It's not my list. It may not be your list, but
right.
It's the people's list.
So it's a terrible list.
I'm concerned that there'll be much yelling and throwing of things.
That does happen a lot. We're going to talk to Petros Papadakis about the Dodgers.
How about those Dodgers?
How about those Dodgers?
Wow.
Not even needed in the seventh inning. How about that? Right?
You didn't
Kevin,
tune in?
Don't admit
I did,
to that.
But I'm saying I didn't need to.
Well, because
okay,
you
no,
didn't need to.
But because you did.
But didn't need
but
to.
But the Cubs
could have
come back
that.
And scored seven in the
yeah.
ninth if you hadn't
but
tuned
didn't,
in.
Didn't I'm saying that the Dodgers are a baseball team mm-hmm. made up of professional players.
Right.
And those guys went out and played better than the Cubs.
Because they had
right.
you.
Regardless
tuning
of
the seventh.
I didn't poop, Kevin. That's all I'm saying.
Allie did her part. Yep. And it sounds like you did your part and good things are happening.
Yes.
Canada is trying to cheer up America. Aww. I don't know if you've heard about this
so
yet.
Sweet.
It's very nice.
But they're trying to tell America it's great. I think they're worried about us.
I know.
Because of the elections.
It's lovely.
And speaking of elections, comedian Ben Glebe will be on the program today. He's got Comedy Juice Squeezes the Presidential Debates. I think it's like a play-by-play on a secondary channel where you can listen to them make jokes while the debate's going on.
Oh.
Well, good luck being funnier than Donald Trump.
And comedian Ray Romano. Join us on the program as well. Today, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 6.
It's Wednesday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day, for a new show. What's going on?
Hello, ladies!
What's up?
You all right?
Louisiana Creeper.
Louisiana Creeper.
Kevin, that brain injury you had really has... turned things around.
It didn't take a lot of brain power to
in a good way.
Tie those two together.
But the fact that you remembered that Bean lives in Louisiana,
how
I think,
dare
is
you.
Pretty strong, quite frankly. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Great.
How are you doing?
I may still be drunk.
Oh.
Just warning everyone.
Good. Oh, was last night your Elvira party?
Yes, last night was the big Elvira party. Yeah, yet another odd mix of people in the same room together. It was very strange, but it was very fun. We were celebrating this new coffee table book that has come out called Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, that is a celebration of Elvira's 35 years as an icon.
Mm-hmm.
So Cassandra Peterson, Elvira herself, was there, and they had a big debut party for this book. If you're interested, you can go to, I think, tweeterhead.com is the name of the publishing company, tweeterhead.com. And we were there, and it was a big, fun group of people. I saw Chris Hardwick. He says hello.
Great.
And
all
then
right.
as the celebrities started to show up, I was like, oh, there's Dave Navarro. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then there's Julie Newmar, TV's Catwoman. She
walked
happening?
In. You were excited.
Then Tracy Lords.
What?
Former adult film star turned John Waters regular Tracy Lords showed up.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere Ralph goes, weirdness follows.
This was the most eclectic, odd group of celebrities. Fred Schneider of the B-52s.
No!
Came in.
Tell me
and
you...
Said, how you doing? I am good. How are you? So we had a little conversation. It was very nice. And Dita Von Teese was there.
Well, sure. Wow.
And the DeBarges, Michael and Pamela DeBarge were there. And it was just there was lots of drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bearded lady.
Oh, uh-huh.
Okay.
And
that's an interesting constituency.
Wow.
It was just a wild evening.
What time would you guess you stopped drinking?
What time is it now?
Okay, good.
I don't know. It was a cornucopia of odd celebrity and alcohol, and a good time was had by all, so I'm told. I'm told I had a great time.
That does sound awesome.
So forgive me if I seem a little out of sorts, but I will carry on to the best of my ability.
By the way, you don't know this, Ralph, but we love Drunk Ralph. Drunk Ralph is so nice.
Oh, great.
So,
good.
Whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
All right. I will keep drinking then.
You don't have to ask him twice.
Congratulations to Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale. They're a little bit richer this morning. I don't know if you heard, but they, they're selling off some of their mutually owned things since their split. And they just were able to... Oh, no, I'm sorry. They haven't sold this yet, but they have just put on the market their Beverly Hills home. So if you're interested in some property in Beverly Hills and you would like a 7-bedroom, 7.5-bath Beverly Hills mansion...
What's that going to run us?
It does feature an infinity pool,
okay,
which is nice. Yeah. The hot tub, the gym, the movie theater, the tennis court.
Okay.
The outdoor kitchen.
I like it very much so far.
Got some very nice views.
$250,000.
Let me see.
It's a little more.
A little
like,
more.
Yeah.
You can make that offer. I will put that offer in for you.
Okay.
I just don't know whether they will go for under asking or not. So
this is where, Beverly Hills?
This would be in Beverly Hills, California.
I'm going to go $20
million. Mm.
7 bedrooms?
7 bedrooms, 7.5 baths, infinity pool, theater, tennis court.
Yeah.
I think that's high. I'm going to go 10.
Okay.
Million. $10 million for a mansion in Beverly Hills. It can be yours for the low price of $35 million.
Oh, my.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Break the piggy banks, kids.
$35 million for a house.
Yes.
Yes.
For one house. And I'm not sure, but I don't believe either of them comes with it.
I would expect that they would.
Yeah,
that kind of money.
Kind of money. You expect to see Gwen when you wake up in the morning, right? But apparently, no. It will be empty.
Wow.
So, good luck on getting that, kids. Speaking of Gwen, she will be back as one of the four coaches on The Voice for the next cycle coming this spring. Joining Alicia Keys, Blake Shelton, and Adam Levine has been announced. Miley Cyrus will not be returning for the next cycle, but will more than likely be there on the following cycle in the fall. They do it every spring and every fall. So, if you're a fan of Gwen, she'll be back on television soon.
Look at your watch now.
There she is now.
You're a super hot female.
Yes.
You got a million-dollar contract,
mm-hmm.
and you're still waiting for your hot track.
Mm.
It's so smart the way they do it on The Voice, where they have these big, big stars that only get tied up for, you know, 3 months or something like that. Then they got plenty of time to go out and do their own thing.
Right. Helps the brand make a little extra cash, and then they go on tour. Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow celebrates his 71st birthday. The Trinity Killer. Remember him on
I do.
On Dexter? It was a great season. Evander Holyfield, the real deal. 54 years old. Actor, writer, director John Favreau is 50 years old today. Trey Parker, one of the creators of South Park, is 47 years old today. Trey Parker, he was the creator of South Park along with...
I believe it was Matt.
Matt? Is it Tratt?
I think it's
Tratt and May? Is it Stat and...
And now, a moment with Bean.
This is like when May and Tratt, Tratt and May rather, when they... What am I trying to say here, Kevin?
Matt and Trey. Yeah.
Matt and Trey, thank you.
This is like Tratt and May from now on.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Now on there, Tratt and May.
Yep.
And actress Gillian Jacobs. Gillian Jacobs from Community, 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What about Bean Makes Us Guess?
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Hit it, Steve.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I'm the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes!
So, a quick question before we get into this edition of Bean Makes Us Guess. Mm-hmm. When you turn on the TV and you're watching old, Shepard Smith read the news or something like that, and there's a train derailment, is it Shepard Smith's fault that there's a train derailment because he's the one who's giving you the news, or is it not?
This is a terrible list, and Bean is afraid we're going to blame
him.
It's
a terrible list.
The last three lists he's brought in have been awful.
Yeah.
And
what?
So
the lists are
sucks,
awful because
he doesn't agree
with them.
Me. I suck. But here's the thing. Shepard Smith doesn't choose which story about the derailment to put on the air.
Oh, interesting.
See, he's just reporting the news. You're seeking this and looking at yes, this is excellent. This will go on the air nicely. And then you put it on the air and it's awful.
Okay. Don't
shoot the messenger. Co-signing.
First
what
of
you're
all.
Doing.
Second of all, it's not my list, okay?
But you chose
but it.
There. There's a lot of lists in the world. This is the one you picked.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Ranker.com, which is the people's source, here's what it says. The best Halloween candy, ladies and gentlemen. Halloween and candy are synonymous.
Here's what I'm going to say. If candy corn is in the top 10...
Then we're burning this mother
down.
Okay.
I didn't have any influence whatsoever on the
list.
But I guarantee because Bean likes candy corn, he knows we don't, it's on there.
Oh, sure.
Yes,
that's
it's a spooky holiday. It's really fun to get dressed up in fancy costumes. But the whole point is to get free candy from your neighbors. It's all about the candy. So the list is today for Bean Makes This Guess. What is the best candy for Halloween? In other words, you go up to somebody's door. What's the thing you most hope they put in your little plastic pumpkin? Kevin, historically, you get to go first. What's your guess, please?
Snickers.
Snickers is number 4 on the list. Yes, we are trying to determine the top 10. I've got the top 40 in front of me. That is number 4, so
right.
You are on the board.
Abba Zabbas.
No, I'm just kidding.
The greatest candy in the world, the only one that really matters to anyone with any taste, the Reese's Peanut Butter.
Absolutely.
Yes,
won't surprise anybody that is, yes, number 1.
Boom!
That is the gold mine if you get a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
The best.
Going along with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, I will say Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces just outside the top 10. Oh. Number 11. I'm so sorry, Allie McKay.
Maybe you went there instead of the other way.
What a great guess,
though. The obvious way.
What's the obvious way? Because I'm next.
I'll tell you when it's my turn.
Come on, Ralph. Milky Way.
Milky Way is number 17. I'm sorry, Kevin. Number 17 on this list.
If you go to the Reese's Pieces mentality, oh, why would you go for the lesser cousin when you're missing the original, the classic, the M&M's?
Number 6, ladies and gentlemen. Top 10
right?
Halloween
you're thinking
candy.
Those small little candy coated delicious things, you think M&M.
But peanut butter.
Maybe Allie loves E.T. You ever think about that?
I do so much. I'm sticking on peanut butter because it's working for me. I am going to say the one Butterfinger.
Yes, number 8. Excellent. Well done, Allie McKay. Number 8. Skittles. Skittles are on the list. I'm sorry to say they are not in the top.
That's stupid.
Oh,
yes.
Let me take it back.
Yes.
Number 7.
Yes.
Wow. Number 7.
Skittles.
Kevin, this thing that they drilled into your head. Is it available for the rest of us?
This implant, really.
Seriously.
I want to invest in the company, is what I'm saying.
It's a medical miracle.
Shut up.
All right. So we've done number 1, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. We've got number 4, Snickers. Number 6, M&M's. Number 7, Skittles. And that's where we're at in the top 10 right now.
How about the often overlooked and yet classic Hershey's bar, with or without almonds?
Hershey's bar is on the list, not in the top 10. It's much further down. Huh. It's number 16.
Hmm. It's not for me, but people seem to enjoy the whatchamacallit.
Not in the top 40.
Not for anyone. Not
perhaps,
wrong with you.
Not even in the top 400.
It's not the top
40. I'm sorry. No, not the whatchamacallit.
But I'd have a Toblerone.
All right. I think we got time for a couple more runs around the horn here.
Do we run around the horn?
Is that what we're doing?
Yes, it is.
I don't feel like I'm running anywhere. Necco wafers.
Oh, the worst.
I'm sorry,
top 10. What?
Not in the top 40. There's That's no absurd. Neccos in the top 40. I'm sorry.
How about...
This is a good one for you, Ralph. You seem to be pretty dialed in with the candy.
Oh, yeah. I've only gotten 2 out of the top 10, Bean. Sorry, back to you.
You're right. Boy, you hit him where he lives. That's a nerve in this candy zone. How about the Mounds? The Mounds bar.
Mounds is number 37 on their list, but I got to tell you, it'd be way higher for me.
Yeah, me too.
I love the Mounds.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Almond Joy's got Miss nuts. Mounds don't.
I hate to say it because it shouldn't be on there, but I'm struggling. Candy corn.
I was going to say the same thing because that's the only reason Bean would pick this list.
First of all, you have no confidence in me as a professional.
No.
It's number 27.
Yes!
Number 27.
Oh, the bait and switch, Allie. I'm sorry.
Not on the list. Obviously, it should be number 1.
It was so funny because I was literally going to pick that next. I just knew for a fact that
All right, we're doing the top 10 Halloween candies one more time. Kevin, your final guess, please.
Twix.
Twix is number 3, ladies and gentlemen. Look at you.
That was Chip. That one was Chip.
It's all Chip.
Wow.
It's all been Chip.
Kevin has 3. Ralph has 2. I have 1.
By the way, I wouldn't even, if you asked me to name 100 candies, I don't think I would even remember that Twix exists.
Oh, well, you're dumb.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me up a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Number 2, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wow.
How about that? You got to tie atop the leaderboard. We may have to go around again after Allie's guess.
It's not for me, but.
How about.
What about Pop Rocks?
How about an Almond Joy?
No, Almond Joy is down there at number 33, I'm sorry to say.
I can't think of any.
All right, let's try to break the tie and just do one more for reals.
You can do it, Kevin.
Okay, see, I don't know if I want to go this way or this
way.
What do you think? Do I want to go this way? Because this was already part of.
What about this way?
But this could be considered. Is this
that
different?
Way.
Is this one different than?
What if we had teammates, Ralph? How would that go for us?
Really?
Seriously, Kevin.
Hot tamales.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Mike and Ike's.
I'm gonna go with Hershey's Kisses. Even though Ralph said Hershey Bar, I'm gonna go with Hershey's Kisses.
Hershey's Kisses are number 20 on the list. And by the way,
this is my chance. That would be
one that I would be excited to receive too. Hershey's Kisses
Ralph,
are great.
You could win it all right
win
now.
It all.
This could be
no
it.
Pressure. But the buzzer, the 3-point shot, it's up. Milky Way.
No, I'm sorry. Milky Way
tie game
is number 17. Ralph,
Three
Milky Way is number 17.
Musketeers.
Three Musketeers, new. No, I'm sorry. I don't
I guess we're going out of time.
Yeah, but no, I think they need one more. One more.
We're going out on a tie. Here's what's in your top ten. The Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are number one. I think we had that. Number two, did we get Kit Kat? Someone said Kit Kat,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Me.
Number three was Twix.
Yep, it was Kevin. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I think you had that. Four, I think you also had, Kevin, was Snickers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number five is a surprise to me. But apparently there are a lot of people who love Starburst candy.
Ew. I love Starburst.
Starburst is number five.
They're a lot of work, though.
Fruit,
a lot of work.
Fruit candies doesn't even enter my world.
I like them, but it takes about a half hour to unwrap one.
Oh, if you even say, because Starburst is on there, if you even say Lifesavers, I will kill you.
Jolly Ranchers.
Number six was M&M's. Number seven was Skittles. Number eight, I don't think anyone guessed this one, did they? Butterfinger.
I guess Butterfinger.
Take it easy.
All right, then you had that one. Number
that was
nine.
Your one.
Number nine, also in the fruit category, Ralph. You wouldn't have thought of this, but Sour Patch Kids was number nine.
F this list.
Sour Patch Kids.
That's in the top ten, you're saying.
So much F.
And number ten was Gummy Bears on this list of Halloween candy. Gummy Bears.
Gummy Bear right here.
No Smarties.
That's a gummy bear.
Milk Duds are outside it. Tootsie Rolls, Peppermint Patties. There's a lot of candies, of course, but that has been the list, and this has been Beat Mix's Guess.
Right, stupid. Right?
Bite my ass. Beat Mix's Guess,
yeah. Is it November 8th yet? Has that come yet?
No.
It's November 8th yesterday.
Is it two more weeks? Three more weeks? I think we're within 3 weeks.
It's still in the future?
It's almost here, buddy. So okay. Just hang on. And there's only one more debate. There's only tonight. That's it.
All right. Great.
You can do it, Kevin.
I don't know if I can.
I'm not sure either.
I keep seeing all these stories that people are breaking up. Family members have stopped talking to each other. There's never been more defriending on Facebook in the history of America than there has been over politics right now. And I think it's so great that Canada is stepping in to cheer up America. I think this is so wonderful what they are doing, because we're all a little bit down in the dumps right now. You know, most of us are walking around going, I got to vote, but I can't. I don't like anybody. What am I going to do? Most of us are, you know, hanging our heads, just like Kevin said, just wanting to be over. And that's when Canada steps in. And I think we got a report about what it is they're doing.
While my fellow Canadians up north are giving America a much needed pep talk, they are saying, you don't have to make America great again, because, baby, you already are great.
Know that
you guys are great.
You really are great.
You invented the internet.
You guys are going to get humanity to Mars.
Your national park systems protect some of the most beautiful places on Earth.
All your diversity and all your openness.
The fact that you're such a giving nation, over $250 billion a year is donated to charities.
So wonderful and warm and accommodating.
When things are tough, you fight to make them better.
This is a takeoff on Donald Trump's slogan, even though it doesn't mention him by name. There's this PR group in Toronto who came up with this idea, and they called it Tell America It's Great. They're even using that hashtag. And along with the videos people sent in, they're commenting on Twitter with the hashtag Tell America It's Great. And it looks like Americans also using Twitter to thank Canada for their messages. One person wrote this: Canada is that best friend.
Now, I'm not positive why the other person starts laughing right now.
Mm-hmm.
The other anchor, other reporter or whatever, but mm-hmm. pounding on the table and laughing uncontrollably. I don't know why it's funny. But.
Canada is that best friend that shows up at your door with carbs and wine when they know you've had a rough day. And another using a Jay-Z reference. You're loving this. I can hear you laughing right now. Yes, you like this? How about this one? Using the hashtag Tell America It's Great. Thanks, Canada. We needed that. We've got 99 problems for sure, but you're not one of them. And who doesn't love a Golden Girls reference? I think this one might be one of my favorites. Dear Canada, thank you for being a friend. Gotta sing that, right?
There's some drinking going on in that newsroom, right?
Kind of makes you miss TV news, doesn't it, Allie?
A little bit. A
lot of drinking.
All right. I think it's a great campaign because, you know what, America is a great country.
Agreed. Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to hear somebody actually say that. So we wanted to find out more about the campaign. We asked Dave, who can we talk to? And I think we have a Canadian on the line, Gordon McNeil. Mr. McNeil, thanks so much for coming on, sir. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, eh?
So what's fun? Are you somehow involved in this hashtag, Tell America It's Great?
No, I'm just a Canadian.
Okay.
Oh, your fellow there called me up and said, hey, we'd like to talk to a Canadian. I said, okay, you sure have one here on the phone.
Okay.
Are you at a hockey rink?
I am. Okay. Yeah, we're getting our morning skate in.
Okay, good.
Everyone here plays hockey, you know. It's our national sport, you know.
Very popular. We understand that.
It is very popular here in Canada. I'm surprised you know so much about Canada because you're pretty self-involved.
It's great to be self-involved like that.
Good for you, America.
I thought we were friends with Canada.
I'm telling you, you're great.
Okay.
Great at selfies.
Well, see, now that sounds like a backhanded compliment.
Oh, you're great at selfies. Look at me. Oh, I love me so much. Take another picture of me. Hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Aren't I something special?
I feel like you're just saying we're great at being bad at things.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm sorry if it comes off that way.
Oh, okay.
A little bit. Okay.
I think you guys are awesome, and yeah, really. Thanks for never really taking us seriously and calling us your hat and all. That's all.
That was always just in humor.
Fun. Oh, yeah. Look, we're in Canada. It's America's hat.
Right, but it's just kind of a play on the geography of where our countries are. It's not personal.
That is funny, eh? You guys, that's another thing you have, a great sense of humor. You're great because you guys have, the Carrot Top? Oh, he's a stitch.
Yeah, but he's not representative of America. Yeah. I mean, he's the guy we want you to point to.
Oh, Larry the Cable Guy. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I can't even stop laughing so much.
We got a lot of funny people, too, though,
in addition. Lots of funny people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hey, how about Martin Short, suck it? How about that?
Yeah, he's from Canada.
Canadian.
He's great.
Right, great.
But we love him as well. Right.
Yeah, you're welcome. How about that once in a while? How about thank you, Canada, once in a while? How's that hashtag? Hashtag thank you, Canada, for all the great stuff you give us, okay?
But this entire story was about Tell America It's Great.
Those people are wrong. You're awful, and I hate you.
Oh. That escalated quickly.
I think your producer called the wrong Canadian.
I think so, too.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53. We're all having fun, right, guys?
No.
Right.
Some of us are. Yeah. Apparently some of us aren't.
Sure. Hey, speaking of Green Day, it's been a huge week for Green Day fans. They had that killer show at the Palladium a couple nights ago.
Killers were there?
Yeah.
No. No.
That's great.
And they're going to be at K-Rock today, 4 o'clock this afternoon in the Red Bull Sound Space. The band Green Day is going to be performing live, and you can watch it.
This afternoon.
Yes, today.
This explains why no one was here at 3:30 when I was lined up waiting to watch the show.
Yes, it's going to be today. So anyway, if you want to watch that, you should at krock.com. And then if you miss it, there is a replay of the performance all the way up until 4 p.m. So we got that for 24 hours. You can see live Green Day in the Red Bull Sound Space here at KROQ. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, Ben Glebe, one of our friends, very funny man, comedian, is coming in right at the top of the hour.
Man.
He's funny. He's a man. And he's coming in. All three of those things.
First, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ben.
Hey, you want to drain the main vein?
I don't think that's what the reference is. If you don't mind not making that.
I hate your face so much, Ralph.
Same.
Friday, it's the Vein Drain Blood Drive at Universal Studios Hollywood. It's our annual blood drive where we you come by and I get a rusty can opener and I just jab your arm until I hit something. And
you're
going
to be there, but I don't think you have anything to do with taking of the blood.
They said this year I could take the
blood. I don't think so.
And I just let you drip over a trash bag for a while, and then we just take that in. And
no, they have professionals.
They spin out the platelets.
Nope.
You just turned it into a bloodbath.
Right?
Nice, Kevin. White meat. Dark meat. Yes. All will be carved.
No, professionals will be on hand to safely and comfortably remove your blood. You won't even feel it. Well, you feel it a little bit. It happens at 5 a.m., goes all the way through 1 p.m., and just for coming on down, we do have some great prizes and things to give away. Tickets, for example, to the Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, which is awesome. Red Hot Chili Peppers, 21 Pilots, Danny Elfman's Halloween Show at the Bowl, Festival Supreme, Panic at the Disco, Stan Lee's L.A. Comic Con that I'll be down at with Kevin Smith, Halloween weekend, Bad Religion. So it's worth your while to come on down and do the right thing. Save a life. Give some blood. 5 a.m. I will be down there broadcasting live. And it goes to 1 p.m. It's at Universal Studios Hollywood. Make sure you park in the Frankenstein Garage for free parking. But it's well worth it. So come on by on Friday, won't you?
You can see there was blood coming out of her eyes. Blood coming out of her wherever.
Wherever, right?
I don't think that's what we're saying at all.
Hey, guess who's back?
Backstreet.
Shady?
Two good answers.
I mean,
good
answers,
but not correct. Elmo! Elmo's back!
He can talk loud and soft.
Huh?
Who knew we had such an Elmo
expert?
I had
no idea.
Wow.
That almost sounded like me.
Oh. Better.
Take it back.
Didn't that guy get caught?
That's what I'm saying. He was gone for a while. You know why?
Yeah.
But it wound up not being true.
But it did end up being true.
I don't think it did.
I think it did.
I don't think it did.
I believe it did.
I don't.
I believe.
The best argument ever.
He was touching the kids, right?
No.
Right.
Oh, no. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, he was with the underage young gentleman.
Oh.
Do you know who we're talking about?
Not sure.
Ex-Elmo voice actor Kevin Clash cleared of sexual abuse charges.
Oh.
Another chapter closed in the long, strange tale, the Elmo sex scandal. How about that?
When did that happen?
April 24th, 2014.
Oh, my goodness. I have been thinking the wrong thing about Kevin for some time now.
Sorry, Mr. Clash.
Wait, wow. Kevin?
It's all good now.
Kevin Clash.
Kevin Clash is
the voice of Elmo. Apparently, he's coming back when it debuts in January. They gave the character a little break. But now they're bringing back the segment called Elmo's World with Elmo back large and in charge. Now, it does not say in this story whether Kevin will be returning as the voice of Elmo or not. But Mr. Noodle, his friend Mr. Noodle.
Well, there's the problem right there.
Character's name. Bill Irwin played that in all the recurring segments. He's going to be back. And, of course, Elmo's dogs, Schmoodle, Floodle, and Frank will also be returning.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Elmo has to apologize to the guy who did my voice.
Really thought he was a diddler. Apparently he's not.
Nope.
It's a lovely term, though.
Cleared of those charges. Cleared.
And I believe maybe even sued the guy that said it because it was so off base.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now I feel really bad.
He's a great man.
The best.
Hey, American Crime Story's coming back. That's the people who gave us the O.J. Simpson series. And what was the first one? The first one was...
I thought that was the first one.
Yeah, I did too.
I think there was another American Crime, but that was a different show.
ABC had American Crime, right. But American Crime Story was,
there was one before.
On live. Yeah, O.J. was the second one.
Didn't know that.
This will be the third one that they're going to do.
So Elmo did it or didn't do it?
Yeah, I think it's Elmo.
The first one was about Elmo. That's what
American
it was.
American Crime Story. No, it's going to be about the murder of Gianni Versace. Legendary fashion designer who was killed on the steps of his home in Miami Beach by a serial murderer and sexual predator, Andrew Cunanan. Unless Andrew's been cleared, and I don't know about it, so we'll have to wait and see.
The first season was The People versus O.J. Simpson.
What was the second one, then?
The second one is going to be about the aftermath of Katrina. That's the one that's going to air next year.
Right.
And what you're talking about is the announcement for the third season, which is the Versace case.
And then we'll get to the Vegas O.J., right?
A sequel? You want the Vegas story?
Yeah, when he went to jail, for God's sake.
I'm sure Cuba Gooding Jr. is up for it.
Sure.
I bet. Too bad Ross won't be available. What's his name?
David Schwimmer?
David Schwimmer. Juice. Yeah, Do you ever see the supercut of him saying juice?
No.
It's a video called David Schwimmer Says Juice, and it's just every time he said juice throughout the entire series. It's about 4 minutes and going, juice.
He wasn't bad. He was not good. Not good.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow celebrates his 71st birthday today. Vander Holyfield is 54. John Favreau is 50. Trey Parker, 47 years old. There's something strange in your neighborhood. What's that? Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters! Trey.
What?
Trey Parker.
Oh. We thought it was Ray Parker.
No, not Ray Parker. Trey Parker.
Trey.
Yes.
Easy mistake to make.
And Gillian Jacobs is 34 today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the show.
Is it November 8th yet?
Okay, you can keep asking that, Kevin, but it's still not.
Is yesterday November 8th?
No, you still have to wait for the election. Hey, look who just joined us. One of our favorites, stand-up comedian, actor, podcaster, host of Idiot Test on the Game Show Network. It's our friend Ben Glebe. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
What's going on, man? Guys?
Kevin plus Bean. Hello.
How are you? Do you have the election fatigue that we're suffering from right now? Like you just can't even turn it on the TV anymore. It's it's too much.
Well, I'm not at that point. I definitely have the fatigue, but it's kind of like a relationship that you know is supposed to be over, but you still like it because the sex is okay still. Like, I can't stand it, but I need it.
But you still have to follow it closely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think it's like? I think about this all the time. When you turn on CNN or Fox, 24 hours a day, there's a panel of 6 or 8 people all talking about the election, and it's hour after hour after hour. Do you think they just are ready to shoot their brains out at this point?
Well, it's so ridiculous because every single one, the entire discussion, every time, they show a 5-second clip of the actual news from the day, and then they go to these supposed experts who literally say, so what does Trump have to do in this debate to change things around? And they just pontificate for 20 minutes about not be crazy. He has to be less crazy this time.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple answer.
That's all he has to do.
And it doesn't take very long to say.
It's unbelievable.
But they have a lot of time to fill it.
But Bean, this is why I'm the smart one.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
That is true. And by the way, Ben, you've been a fan of television for your whole life. When did we flip that switch where now it doesn't count unless there are at least 6 or 8 people on TV at the same time? Why does everything have to look like the opening of the Brady Bunch? You know what I mean?
Because people love the Brady Bunch. I think that's a big part.
That's it, yeah.
It's burned into our psyches. I really wish they would actually...
They go to everybody on the panel for 20 seconds at a time, and then they cut that person off to go to the next person for 20 seconds. It's just weird.
They should pile them in 9 blocks on top of each other, make them look up and down cutely each other.
I like it. That would be better.
I think that would be adorable. And now for the most insightful commentary, Alice, the housekeeper. I mean, it is the most absurd. And Trump keeps claiming the last 2 weeks now that he's losing really badly that the election is rigged, which it very much is for him. The only reason a Donald Trump is the nominee for the Republican Party is because the media gave him such free publicity for so long, billions of dollars of free publicity, that he and his orangeness are the top of the political world right now against Hillary and her emails. It is an incredibly weird
world. Well, we did all fall for it. We all fell for the fascination of seeing a guy, a non-politician, run for office. I think there was something very attractive about that for many people.
And he made everyone angry.
Yes.
Which drew me to the story because I hate politics. So if everybody in the political world is angry, then I'm in.
Yeah, Jeff Zucker on CNN finally admitted maybe we went a bit overboard on the coverage.
Now.
He actually said that.
Wow.
But where were you a year and a half ago when people were like, why is Trump getting 90% of coverage?
And he's still saying maybe. He's still saying maybe we went over. I'm not sure. Let's wait. It's truly the most incredible thing. Plus, it was fascinating because I've never seen such a bomb thrower. The guy says Hillary's a hawk. Trump will be throwing bombs constantly because he can't go 2 days without blaming every single thing, any conspiracy theory. He makes Sarah Palin look like a scientist. It's incredible.
Well, we have talked about this a lot where things have derailed other political candidates that were so minute, so tiny, and they were out of the race without even a thought.
It's incredible.
He's throwing Molotov cocktails and everybody's like, woo, let's throw them in.
You miss the sober days of early Trump for president when he was just saying Mexicans are rapists and we need to build a wall. That was like calm Trump coming down escalators. We missed that guy we knew and we could rely on.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Right, right.
But Ben, let me ask you this. You're an insightful political mind.
There was a mosquito. I don't want mosquitoes around me. I don't like mosquitoes. I don't like those mosquitoes. I never did.
And I read your piece that you wrote for the Huffington Post where you took a very sober look at the appeal of Mr. Trump. And it's understandable in certain ways. Look, I'm not going to vote for him, but I get what it is that some people like about him that are attracted. And I think you do, too.
Totally. And granted, I wrote that piece about a year ago before he became the Trump that he is now. But still, it is true. I mean, he speaks to people's anger, like you said a second ago, Kevin, he somehow taps in because for so long I think Democrats have had in some ways more compassionate points of view and ones that maybe intellectually make more sense for progressing towards the future. But because of that, they also use intellectual arguments, and Republicans in general have used very emotional arguments. They just play to people's fear more, and Trump is the ultimate genius at that. He's just so good at branding that he just taps into this that so much so that he just seduces everybody with his adjectives, even. He's right when he said I have the best words, okay?
He did say that, but I haven't really heard any of the best words
No,
yet.
But he doesn't use big words, but just the best ones. I think he means, like, very
they're
charged
effective
ones.
Words.
Yeah, like this word.
Wrong.
He's used that one quite well and quite often.
I think you're right, Ben, because, look, nobody's going to give him any style points for Crooked Hillary, but that is a very effective branding that sticks and
yeah,
it works.
Simple.
It's easy to remember, and it's one word that sums up how a lot of people feel about his opponent.
Yeah.
And I think that's really smart.
And he just paints pictures really well. Like, most of the Republican candidates wanted to build a wall on the Mexican border, but Trump just seduced us with his adjectives. He'd say, I'm going to build a tremendous wall. It's going to be I'm thinking a sandstone, maybe a large golden door. I don't know. Maybe a golden. I will be on a ladder with a megaphone. I will be the wizard, okay? I mean, he just paints a picture. You want to see a Trump wizard. And somehow his supporters will just, because he's hypnotized them so well, will just justify anything he says that you can't convince him out of it. Like, he, for example, like, he could literally turn this point because he's sure he's going to lose. He could say, look, I don't become president anymore. If I become president, I will burn down America. And they would say, yeah, but that's not a bad idea. America could use a good slash and burn. Do kind of like a crop rotation. Leave the soil fallow for a year. I went to social studies.
All right, we need to take a quick break. Mention for people what you're doing tonight quickly, and then we'll take a break.
Sure. So tonight at the Hollywood Improv, we're doing the thing we've been doing for every debate. At 7:30 p.m. tonight, Margaret Cho and Brett Ernst and I will be watching the entire debate at 7:30 p.m. with the crowd, pausing it for jokes and commentary, and then it plays on. So you see the full debate with three comedians making fun of it as it goes along. You can get tickets right now at comedyjuice.com. It's going to be a really fun show.
So you're Mystery Science Theater 3000-ing it.
We are indeed, yes.
That's a great idea.
But pausing, too, so you don't miss any of the wrong. It's not true, okay? She's on drugs.
Wrong.
It's not because I'm sniffing constantly like I've been doing coke all night. It's her that's on drugs. Okay?
I love that he requested a drug test for the debate tonight. I think that's fantastic. Tickets are only $7, you guys. You get the debate plus additional comedy, and they're on sale right now. This is a brand new announcement. You did not know this was coming, but Ben is going to be hosting this thing tonight. Improv.com is where you want to buy your tickets. 18 and up, please. More with our guest, Ben Glebe, right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show joins us in about 15 minutes or so to talk all things Dodgers. Ben Glebe in studio with us right now. You are a Los Angelino. Do you grow up a Dodgers fan?
I didn't. Indeed, I love the Dodgers.
It's a big week.
It's a huge week. I know. It was a good night last night, so hopefully it continues that way.
Now, what happens tonight, though, because you're doing this event, you know, you and the other comedians you described doing the presidential debate at the Improv. It's going to be on the same time as the Dodgers game.
Yeah, that is true. Something I didn't exactly think about, but here's the good news. The Dodgers game it's not a deciding game.
Right.
And we're going to win, and it'll be much more exciting tomorrow night.
Okay. All right.
So
good.
That could be a deciding game.
I like the way you've turned that around to look at it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Improv.com, just $7. It's going to be you and other comedians tonight. Comedy Juice Squeezes, the presidential debate with Ben Glebe at the Hollywood Improv tonight. Now, you were telling us
And Margaret Cho. It's going to be
and
amazing.
Margaret Cho will be there, too. We made you stop because this sounded too good to waste off air. You've got a plan for Donald Trump after the election. Let's say he doesn't win. Let's say he doesn't win, and even though it's rigged, he can't figure out a way to legally take the White House. What happens next
week? Right. So he's saying it's rigged, and it's not rigged. There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence of voter fraud. So even if he starts his own TV network, internet network, he's still going to be poisoning our minds for years. So I think, he just wants his fame. So we have to give him back to his apprentice glory days. You give him a new primetime reality show.
Okay.
It's called Trump Island. And you give him – it's basically Survivor. Trump's the king. And he gets to be the president of Trump Island. He builds a wall around the island,
okay,
which is unnecessary because it's already an island.
Right.
But he really wants to build walls.
Uh-huh.
And you put on the island a Mexican guy, a Muslim, a woman, a black guy. All people who sign up, though. People who also want
fame. So they want to do that.
They sign up for Trump punishment.
Okay.
And he gets to just make every oppressive rule he wants. He gets to say, I'm the king. You have to pray to the king. It can be the worst island in the world. But the objective of this show, it's the first reality show, everybody, after about a week or two on the island, the objective is to try to get off the island. You do not want to stay.
I like it.
Escape from Trump Island.
And then
like
keep
it.
Him. And then keep him there.
You got to keep him there. You got to build some kind
forever?
Of a cage, for head, forever. He has a furry head.
Okay.
He has the head.
Wow. I'm not sure what
happened. That's not where my mind went at all.
You proud of that one, Ben?
I'm not very proud of that one. No, everybody's face in the studio got confused, and I had to over-explain it to even bring it back to reality. But
I don't think he'd be good at that. All right. Let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
Politics, and this is one of the reasons I hate it, brings out the absolute worst in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
One side, it's not just enough to disagree. They have to name call, and they hate, and it just sucks. And the other side does the same thing. How do you wade into that without getting so much hate that it makes you not want to do it?
You just have to, I think, look at it like a reality show. I mean, there's so much hate in reality shows, right? You watch The Real Housewives of every city.
Right, but I'm not in that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're putting yourself in the middle of that.
But that's why I think you have to, because we're all in it. This is a reality show with consequences. It's the same dramatic morons that are on these reality shows, but just somehow they're also given armies and bombs. So you have to get involved. So I just look at it with the absurdity that it is, but also you need to pay attention and kind of choose the lesser of two evils, because they're going to be in charge of you and can decide if you live or die.
Speaking of consequences, though, you're a comedian. You do stand up all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Schumer was in the news this week. She had a couple of hundred people get up and walk out of her.
Yeah,
you know, her show the other night, because she was making Trump jokes.
This is true. Out of 8,400, 200 walked out, and I do Trump jokes in my act. I do Hillary jokes too, but definitely more Trump jokes. And you just got to do it. I think you don't have to. Not all comedians talk politics, but as Amy said, comedians are also historically turned to not just for laughs, but for the truth. And you got to talk truth to power. So I'm not afraid to do it. I was just doing Trump jokes in Dallas. People were very supportive of them, generally speaking. Not my friend Tommy Lahren, the blonde firebomb thrower who does the angry final thoughts rants on the internet and tries to anger the world.
Right.
But so you are losing friends.
I'm losing friends. I mean, she came. But here's the thing, though. And that's why I think you can keep it in perspective. She and I debated the whole election in her studio, her Glenn Beck Kingdom studio.
Right.
They're in Beck Island. And then she came to my show, and we went out clubbing that night and went dancing.
Really?
And I released a video on my Instagram called Ben Glebe and Tommy Lahren's Politically Confusing Dance Party. And we were just dancing.
Maybe that's the answer, is you should be required to find somebody who's voting for the other candidate and go out dancing with them.
Yes.
Oh,
bring people
lovely.
Together.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be great.
How would that work exactly, Bean?
Well, I'm not sure of the details. I'm just saying. But I think Ben has put his toe in it. It sounds like it was very successful.
I think the Republican candidates have to pick up the tab, probably, because they got money buckets rolling out of their pockets.
You two would make beautiful babies, by the way, you and Tommy.
I do not disagree.
Yeah.
80% of that coming from her genes.
I was going to say 90, but yeah, I'll accept that.
That's hurtful. I'll take it.
Comedy Juice squeezes the presidential debate with Ben Glebe. Now, you've done this for previous debates.
Yeah, we did it for the first two debates. It was a big success. The first one sold out very, very quickly. And then it's going to be really cool, because you see the entire debate, but we pause it every time we think of a joke. And Brett Ernst is a little bit more conservative, and then Margaret Cho is way more liberal, and I'm liberal, but I'm more in the middle, and so I think it's going to be a really fun way to watch the debate. And if you come and get tickets to the 7 o'clock show, you can stay for the Comedy Juice regular stand-up show at 10 o'clock for free.
That's a great deal.
It's going to be really fun.
It's going to be tonight at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets are only $7, you guys. 18 and up, improv.com. And you're still Tuesday nights at 10 on GSN for Idiot Test, right?
Yes, we have a Halloween special coming this Tuesday where it's a very scary episode. There's a bunch of scares built into it, and I host the entire episode as Patrick Bateman from American Psycho in a very creepy way.
All right.
And basically, I'm just channeling a Trump son as my character. It's going to be intense.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
As does tonight. Good luck with that. Thank you for coming in. We always appreciate your time.
Thank you guys for having me, and it's been a pleasure. And is it November 8th yet?
It's time for Dodger baseball.
So I say D.
Right?
I say D-O.
D-O-D-G-E-R-S.
Feeling pretty good about last night's game against the Cubs at Dodger Stadium. They're back at it again tonight. And the station that you hear the Dodgers on, of course, is AM 570, LA Sports Station. Our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show joins us back on K-Rock. Hey, P, how are you?
Hey, what's poppin', everybody? Go Doyers.
Go Doyers, indeed. I got to tell you, I actually had occasion to listen to some of the game yesterday because I was running around doing things, and I was happy to hear that you've still got Vin Scully on the broadcast doing the Farmer John commercials and the Mercedes-Benz commercials. It was great to hear his voice again.
Yeah, and he says, hey, welcome back to the game. Here are two other guys.
Right. I thought that was very nice. So you guys broadcast from the stadium yesterday, hung around for the game. You were there in person?
No. Are you crazy?
What?
What's wrong with you? I leave immediately after.
You know his life is much like yours, Bean.
You left. You were at Dodger Stadium when the game began, and you left.
Not only was I at Dodger Stadium when the game began and left, I will do it again today and tomorrow.
Think about how many people would kill to be there in person, Petras. Have you just had too much sports at this point in your life?
It's been years, and people have been saying this to me about Laker games and championships.
Well, you're a terrible human being.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Look, can I say something that's going to make me sound like the biggest douche that ever lived?
Sure.
Because I say this all the time, but it's true. I don't show up at a sporting event unless somebody pays me to stay.
Wow.
Guess where they're paying me to stay on Saturday?
Where?
Lawrence, Kansas, baby. Kansas versus Oklahoma State. 9 a.m., Fox Sports 1. See you there.
What a life. All right.
I'll be there all four quarters and if it goes to overtime.
How did it go so well last night, Petros? I mean, can you find any criticism of anything that the Dodgers did last night?
Not last night. You know,
no.
Last night it really came together, and it came together in front of the fans, and the city is pretty electrified. I mean, this kind of happened back when I first went on with you guys, way back in like 2002, when USC got a run going. You know, the city, the infrastructure of the city is a bunch of people that love USC or went to USC.
Right.
And they got excited, and you could see the city kind of opened up like an oyster for that team. Now, the Dodgers are USC times 100 because of the fan base. It's the most visited sporting event in the world every year, year in and year out. They break MLB attendance records, and because of the volume of games, they do more than even the most popular football teams or football teams in Europe.
Yeah, it's over 4 million fans a year, right.
Yeah, so it's an unbelievable fan base of people and a really diverse one. And when the Dodgers do well, something happens to the city, and it's not quite like the Lakers. Obviously, you guys love the Kings. That's kind of a niche thing.
Oh, how dare you?
Hey, it is. You know, there's 20,000.
That's the center of the universe, my friend.
There's 20,000 hockey fans in town, and they're all in the stadium.
You're a bad person.
I don't like
you, Petras. I'm just telling the truth. But the Dodgers, look, they can't price people out. There's a lot of games every year. And a giant Latino fan base. It's a great thing when they do well. And last night, they were fabulous. It looks like, and I hate to say this early, but there is a curse on the Cubs. And that curse was given by a Greek man in 1945.
Here we go.
And if a Greek puts a curse on you,
right,
it's real.
It sticks.
Like two fistfuls of feces just right in your face.
What? What? What?
You heard him, unfortunately, Kevin.
That went south.
Yeah.
Hey, about Rich Hill, is this vindication for him, or are people still going to doubt him his next go-around?
The bishop?
Yep.
Well, look, you know, have these whole playoffs been a vindication, Allie, for Kershaw?
I feel like it has, absolutely.
Right, but if he gets his boobs ripped off on next start in the seventh inning, we're going to be all right back there.
How does that happen to a pitcher?
I don't think that's true, P, because he's already pitched in three games that the Dodgers have won in the postseason. So
okay,
I don't think
and came in and saved one.
Yeah, but if he gives up five runs in a number seven in another seventh inning, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that storyline comes right back. We have the shortest, dumbest memories as sports fans.
But like Ali's saying, we all thought in the second inning last night when Rich Hill looked so uncomfortable, looked like he's having so much trouble, he couldn't get his curveball to work. We all thought, oh my God, here we go again. It's going to be seven innings of bullpen. But he pulled it together, and he was phenomenal those last four innings he pitched.
The bishop?
Yes.
Yes.
We're talking about Rich Hill, yes.
Yeah, he was great. And they needed that because so far this playoffs, it's only, other than a brief stint by the guy that's going to pitch tonight, a 20-year-old kid.
Julio. How about that, by the way?
Yeah, Julio Urias. He had a
Have you interviewed him, Petras?
No, he does not speak English.
Okay. I just wonder, can you even imagine what that would be like to be 20 and standing on the mound at Dodger Stadium for a game like tonight? Can you even imagine what's going through your head?
Well, we thought that he wasn't going to last very long when he came up because they told us that they wanted to send him back down. He was only 19 at that point. But because of the injuries and the shuffling of the Dodger pitching staff, which even me, the most cynical person, has to say was handled brilliantly by the organization and Dave Roberts, not without some luck. But Julio Urias, you know, here he is, and he's pitching in the NLCS. It is pretty remarkable. And as far as Rich Hill goes, I mean, they needed somebody other than that little brief stint by Julio in Washington, Kershaw or Kenley Jansen. Other than that, you know, the Dodgers have been pretty vulnerable on the mound. So they needed somebody. I didn't think anybody expected him to be as dominant as he was. But it was fun to watch.
Last night, by the way, was the, if I heard the statistic right, P, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, it was the 200th postseason game for the Dodgers in their history and the first time they have ever thrown consecutive shutouts in the postseason.
That is a real stat.
That's great.
Is yes, there...
Many things that you can look up.
I have a question for all of you, and that is momentum a thing that carries over from game to game in the playoffs? Because I feel like it certainly can.
Yes.
But then there are also a lot of examples of it not happening.
Well, I think I used to live with baseball players at USC, and they won the College World Series, which was no small feat. And it just amazed me just how mentally challenging the sport was.
Right.
You know, in football, you're tackled and on the ground or knocked out or dead before anybody, you know, before you can even know. It's like you're getting shot. But baseball, you know, you have to think about it all night and you know, what's he going to throw at me? How am I going to react?
Momentum, does it help the Dodgers
well,
tonight?
You know, I think momentum is less of a word for it as opposed to doubt. You know, I think the Cubs, even though they had such a great year, they never really faced any adversity because they started out so great. And they won the division so easily, and now they're facing adversity, and it's really hurting them. The Dodgers, I mean, they've been down on the deck 100 times, and they're kind of a grinding team. They don't know really who's going to be in the lineup night in and night out. They play a lot of different guys. The pitching staff has been patchwork. You know, this is a really confounding thing that they've made it this far, and they just seem to be a grittier team than the Cubs right now.
Yep, I think you're right. And I think the Cubs are looking at, hey, we sent Arrieta. It doesn't get any better than that, and we still lost. Now what?
Striking a blow for the clean-shaven.
Yeah.
You know, Rich Hill just clean-shaven up there. Dave Roberts
right?
just clean-shaven.
Blanton.
And here comes this hipster man-bun beard. And
he's
got his boobs ripped off, too, up there. His whole chest
I don't
like
love
a
the boobs ripped off.
Not a huge fan of that, either.
It's a baseball term.
I don't love it.
It's better than your fistful of feces earlier, I'll tell you that.
That's what a Greek curse is.
Okay.
Listen, this man was named Billy Sionis.
All right, we don't have time nor interest in this story.
I'm a goat.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
Murphy stunk.
All right,
they
all right.
Kicked him out of the stadium, and he said, right. "Them Cubs,
Petros, we got a great,
great to talk to you."
All right.
The Petros and Buddy Radio Show flexing from 1 to 4 today, and then the game at 5 o'clock. Thanks, Pete.
Well, 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
One of the most popular TV stars of all time, our friend Ray Romano, joins us right after the top of the hour.
There he is.
First,
not that
Ralph.
Popular, Deborah.
Ralph is here with the show this week for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Oh, during a charity thing. It's good. You should give money to it.
Right? You guys remember when we had when we had people call in and do their impression of Ray and he was on the phone listening?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was like, awesome. I don't even sound like that. Doing it's awful. People doing that voice, it's annoying.
He's the best.
I don't know why we're waiting for Ray Romano to get on the phone. We got him right here. This is even better.
I'm only just a you know, a fill in case Dave calls in sick.
Because
Dave, our producer,
Dave
Sanchez,
Ray
he is the classic.
He brings it. Yeah.
He's the classic Ray
Hey,
Romano.
Dave, do a little Ray Romano for us.
Oh, Deborah.
See?
I mean,
dead on.
Yeah, nailed it.
Actually, he sounds better over the speaker than he does in real life, quite frankly.
Speaker helps him.
Hey, Mel Gibson is fine now, okay? So just back off.
Was he not?
Well, he
fine?
Was, he was a drunken anti-Semite for a long time,
right.
Remember?
Oh, I see, okay.
He was fighting with cops and
yeah, I just
now.
I thought this was maybe a health scare or something and
no,
I didn't
no.
know about. Okay.
Well, it could have led to, but he said in a new interview he has 10 years of sobriety under his belt now since that DUI stopped back in 2006.
I did notice, if I am remembering correctly, that he was one of the writers or a script supervisor or something on Birth of a Nation, which surprised me. And I thought, wow, look at Mel Gibson and being involved in projects again.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't care.
He credits Alcoholics Anonymous for his success. Mel, you're not supposed to talk about it. It's anonymous.
Oh, Mel.
Rumors are always swirling, he said, that he's fallen off the wagon, but he says he's happy to announce that for 10 years he's been sober, so his life has been much easier to manage, he claims. Well, it couldn't have been any harder to manage than it was during that thing with the girlfriend and the phone calls and the... I don't know.
Because I deserve it.
Right.
That sounds rough.
Go to AA for that problem. I don't know where you go for that one. Empire.
Yes.
Hit show on Fox. Attracting big-time guest stars with all its success. Gina Gershon has just been announced will be added to the show. She'll be the founder of a big fashion label who partners up with Empire for her annual fashion show.
I'm going to confess that I was planning on being back on board with Empire this year, started taping it,
You're
and then never
the
got around
Empire
to watching
wagon?
It, and eventually deleted them. Am I making a mistake? Is it still great?
Wow. Allie's off the Empire
You're
wagon?
I am. I watched the first two and just said, I can't.
We used to love that show, Allie.
I know. No.
How about you, Ralph?
I'm no longer watching Empire. I have no time for you.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you have time for me. Give me half my empire.
No, because now there's a fashion lady coming in. We're doing a fashion show, Cookie.
Mm-hmm. I got fashion, too.
Ralph doesn't watch the show. He just does that for an hour every time it's on.
He nailed it, though. That's basically it.
Now, I would watch your one-man recreation of Empire, but I don't have time for the show. And I feel like I'm missing out because I guess it's still good, right?
I don't know. No idea. I just do the Empire news because I know you guys watch Empire.
Oh.
But now that you guys don't watch the Empire, I'm not doing any more Empire news.
There's still a lot of people watch it, I assume.
I do this show just for Ali and Bean. That's all I do.
If there's one thing that we know about
horrible.
You.
Those two are the only things I care about. They're my audience.
Mm.
I live to earn their praise and approval.
Wow.
That's all I care about.
What have you done with Ralph?
I just want to make them happy. I just want to entertain those two people, Bean and Al.
I don't like that I'm lumped in with him
right
now.
That's all I care about.
I don't want to be in the category with her either, by the way.
Shut up, Bean. The worst.
Aren't they charming? Can you see why I adore them so much?
They're so sweet.
They're both the best.
Don't pay me with her brush.
You wish you had a brush.
What does that even mean?
I'm not even positive what that meant. Although, with the delivery, I think it worked.
Thank you.
Even though it made no sense.
Today's celebrity birthdays. John Lithgow is 71 years old today. Evander Holyfield is 54. Jon Favreau, one of my favorite actor, directors, writers. You know...
Good dude.
Seth MacFarlane. My friend Seth MacFarlane's got a new TV series that's going to be on Fox.
Oh, no kidding.
Called Orville. It is a sci-fi comedy drama about a spaceship and its crew, of which Seth will be the captain. And it's just announced that Jon Favreau is going to be directing the first five episodes.
Is that right? Wow.
So, two good guys working together. Trey Parker is 47 years old today. And Gillian Jacobs. He loved her in Community, and now you can love her in the other things that she does. She's 34 years old. I couldn't get her project. Sorry, Mel. Okay. Sorry, Mel. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is a good deal, you guys. This is a great event for a great cause. Talking about the International Myeloma Foundation's 10th annual comedy celebration. Look at this list, Kevin. Look at these people that are on this list.
Let's see.
At Bill Burr performing live. Jeff Garland, Kevin Nealon, Fred Willard, Michael McKean will be there, J.B. Smoove, all of these, some of our favorite people in the world, am I right?
You're right.
None of them available to come on the show to talk about it, but Ray Romano's here. Hey, Ray.
You're consistent. I like it. I enjoy the consistency of the jab before the hello.
Thank you, sir. He's the king of that. The pressure's on now. Now you've come to expect it. I fear you'd be disappointed if it didn't start out like that.
Let me ask you this. Is the pressure on for you? Like, did you have to think, what do I hit him? How do I do this?
No, you're very easy to install. look at your career. Come on.
Oh.
Wow.
What's up? How
are look
you
what
guys?
You did with vinyl. I mean, come on. All right, take it
Tell
easy.
Tell me about it. My wife is the only one who's happy that vinyl got canceled.
Yeah.
You know, no more threesomes for Raymond.
Right. Hey, I joke.
That's
but
the next show. No more threesomes for Raymond.
Find, I joke, and I don't want anyone to misunderstand, because I'm a huge fan of Mr. Romano's. I loved, I thought you were great on vinyl, but I especially loved your, what was it, The Man of a Certain Age. I thought that was brilliant. And Parenthood, you were so great on Parenthood.
Good.
Yeah, so
get,
great
I
on
get
Parenthood.
A lot. I get a lot of shows canceled. I'm 3 for 3 after Raymond. After those Raymond, every show I've been on has ended.
It's not your fault. Believe me, you're not the problem there. Hey, this thing, though, but for reals, it's a great event. And, Ali, you were saying you've been to this? You've seen Ray work his magic as the host of this event, right?
I have seen him host it. I've been to this event multiple times. It's so positive. They have raised millions upon millions of dollars for multiple myeloma.
I mean, it's our 10th year. It's the 10th year, and they're pretty close to finding a cure. You know, we've raised a lot of money. And when did you go? How long ago have you? When were you there last?
The last time I was there was 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm going to do the same material.
All right.
Oh, yes.
All right.
I was going to say I have kids. I can't write material, but I don't have them anymore. They're all gone.
Yeah.
We sent the last one off to college, man.
Oh, wow.
He's 18, and man, this kid, you save the weirdest for last. You know?
Is that what they say?
That's what they say in my house.
Okay. Right?
This is the kid who, like, he's into these gadgets, and, like, we would always catch him. He would charge stuff on my wife's credit card, you know, all these weird items. And my wife, we laid the law down once. We go, you can't buy any more stuff. And then I remember walking through the kitchen one day, and my wife's on a computer, and she just goes, guess who bought the, she's looking at the bills, you know, she goes, guess who bought the world's smallest playable harmonica? Right, so this is the kid. So now he's in Oregon. We said he's in Oregon University. And then the other day, one of his friends I saw in the neighborhood, and they said, oh, I got an Instagram from Joe from college. He's an ordained minister.
What?
I'm like, what? You know, because this is the kind of kid he is. He just likes to do this stuff.
Right.
So I text him. I go, Joe, are you an ordained minister? And his answer, pretty much.
That's sort of a yes or no answer required.
I don't know. Is that an answer for are you a day? That's like an answer for, like, are you hungry?
Right.
Are you drunk?
Pretty much.
So he's pretty much an ordained minister. That's what he's doing in school.
So, Ray, what happens? I've heard so much about this empty nest syndrome that happens when the last kid is out of the house. Is this going to be tragic for your marriage to Mrs. Romano, or is it going to be bring you guys closer together because now you have time to spend on each other?
Yes.
pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's a dodge right there.
We'll find out. The thing is, we also have 23-year-old twin boys who probably aren't going to leave for about 5 years. You know, they're back. They went to school and came back.
So, I see. Okay, yeah. So they're still in the neighborhood. Gotcha.
Yeah, you know, I lived at home. This is true. I lived at home in Queens in a house as big as my closet right now until I was 29. I lived at home until I was 29 years
old.
Did your parents at any point, 24, 25, 26, say, Ray, you know, moving on, or what's your plan, or no, they didn't.
No, because the Italians in Queens, and they don't want you to, the Italian mother doesn't want you to go anywhere. They want you to stay there forever. But me and my wife, here's the deal with my wife and I. We're 29 years married. We just had our 29th anniversary, which was interesting because I got married when I was 29. So I've been married for the same amount of years that I've been single.
Right.
So I told her, now I can decide which one.
Which you like better?
I don't think that's
Is
how
that
it works.
How it works?
No.
Yeah, the sample size is the same.
Right. Half your life, then. Wow.
But the stuff she gets mad at me now, you know, after a certain amount of years, the other day she got mad because I said the word supper. Like, she went out to dinner with her friends or whatever. She went out to eat. And I, night before, just before we were going to bed, I'm going, how was supper? And she's like, what? What'd you say? And I'm saying, to the restaurant. How's the restaurant? She goes, no. What'd you just say? And I said, how was supper? She goes, we don't say the word supper. Apparently it's too low class for her.
Oh.
I'm like, what do you mean we don't say it? She goes, we say dinner. We don't say supper. That's too low. I'm like, she goes, people don't say supper. I'm going, yeah, it's in the Bible. The Last Supper is in the Bible.
Good so point, Ray.
Class. And she's like, yeah, and they all wore sandals to dinner, right? That's the crap I get in trouble for now. You know, that when you can,
Not to take her side, but I haven't heard the word supper in a long, long time.
I feel like it's an East Coast thing.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. East Coast. My family says supper.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
Yeah, but is it...
we're pretty low class.
Should I get in trouble for saying it, though?
No. That's a weird, that's energy, a weird thing.
Her energy has to go somewhere, Ray.
She was watching TV the other day. I'm walking through, and I'm going to the kitchen, and I offer. I say, I'll bring you back some popcorn, to which she says, all right, but bring enough. She's already mad at me. She's already mad at me for not bringing enough back. It's like, you know, I'd rather have no popcorn than not enough popcorn. So I don't know if that's the answer to your question, Dean.
Yes, I think it is.
That's the answer, yeah.
This is the voice of our friend Ray Romano here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, the event is happening on November the 5th at 6 o'clock at the Wilshire E. Bell Theater, which is a great venue. The International Myeloma Foundation's 10th Annual Comedy Celebration with a great lineup. Bill Burr, Jeff Garlin, Dom Herrera, Kevin Nealon, J.B. Smooth, Fred Willard. Musical performances from Michael McKean and his wife, Annette O'Toole. Can you tell us anything about that, Ray? What are they doing?
I have no idea, but there's always some cool music thing. They had David Crosby one year. You know, Lorraine Ball, you know, Peter Boyle, John Lennon was the best man at Peter's wedding.
Right,
That's how him and his wife met, because Lorraine Boyle was a reporter for the Rolling Stone. So they got a lot of music people, friends, you know.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hey, I wanted to ask you about one more thing, Ray. I saw some press you did this week with your friend Kevin James. You're going to be on his show Monday night, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, making a guest appearance on the Kevin. What's it called? Kevin Can Wait. Can't write.
Hey, Ray, text me that picture so I can post it.
The picture of me on the show?
Please.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
It's spectacular.
I don't know if we should say what it is because it's supposed to be a reveal on the show.
Oh, all right.
You guys were talking about in this interview, though, how far back you go. Decades going back. You guys kind of grew up near each other, right, and started comedy kind of at the same time in the clubs. You moved out to California at the same time, going for gigs and stuff like that. I wanted to know if you have any memory of what the poorest you guys ever were in those early days in Hollywood. Is there a moment that sticks out when you were just new in town and trying to get started?
No, the only thing I know is when we became friends was I had just gotten fired from news radio. You know, I was cast in news radio.
Joe Rogan's part, right?
Yeah. Oh, Joe Rogan took my place. But I after one day rehearsal, I was cast originally. I got fired. And then I got an agent. So I went out for pilot season just from that, after that failure. And that's where me and Kevin became buddies, because he was out for pilot season. And I was in one hotel and paying too much money. And he was telling me, no, if you go to the Hilton, I think in Burbank, they give you a monthly rate for actors. So I went in that hotel, and we hung out. And we went for about 3 months. We each went on auditions and got nothing. So we shared our misery together. And then, you know, cut 3 years later, we both had a show on CBS. You know, so it was just a weird friendship that we went through all this, and we just were these two idiots in a kind of a okay hotel in Vegas. Vegas? Why did I say Vegas?
I don't know. Burbank. I'm not sure.
Yeah. You know, and that's how we bonded. We bonded over that. And
did you think he was going to make it, Ray? Honestly.
He cracked me up, man. He was fun. He was so funny. You know, he did guest spots on Raymond.
Right, yeah.
A lot of people think, when I read interviews, a lot of people think I got him his show or because of me he got a show, but that's not true. He actually had a deal with CBS before that to make a pilot for him, and during that time, he did a guest spot on Raymond. So he had it on his own, yeah. Yeah, no, he right from the get-go, he was one of the funniest stand-ups around.
Ray, we're running out of time, so tell us about the charity one more time. Tell us about the Peter Boyle tie-in.
Here's the cool thing about Kevin. Let me just get back to Kevin.
Yes.
If you see him, you know him. He weighs, you know, he's up there.
Right.
The guy's faster than me. You know, I've had moments where I've pissed him off, and he can chase me down.
What's happening right now?
Are you seven? Who chases each other? Are you 7 years old?
Well, you know, back then we had a lot. We had a lot of time on our hands.
A lot of noogies, a lot of wedgies.
But just picture, a lot of slap ass. How slow am I? But he's athletic. All right, sorry. So the thing, the charity.
Yes, the charity.
Yeah. What was the question?
No, Peter Boyle.
Well, Peter Boyle is the greatest guy in the world. You know, Peter Boyle is the opposite of the character that he played. Like I said, he was so multifaceted. He was John Lennon was the best man at his wedding back then in the 60s and 70s. Before that, he was a monk, a brother, with the whole vow of silence thing for 2 years. He lived in a monastery or whatever. And then he's this movie star, and I get the show, and he, I was so petrified. I don't know if this is what you want, but on day one of rehearsal, I was just stupid stand-up kid, you know? And there I am, and there's this movie star, and I'm petrified on day one. I don't know if I'm doing it. I think I suck. And I hadn't said a word to Peter, you know? And he just stops here on day one of rehearsal, and he could tell that I was petrified. And he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he goes, it's just like water. Just let it flow. And that's it. He walks away. Oh. And I got to be honest. To this day, I don't know what the hell that meant. I know it's like an actory thing, you know? But it was the gesture of him, like, opening up to me and taking me in. And the first year, our families were in New York, so we both rented apartments and coincidentally rented it in the same complex. So we hung out. I hung out with Peter Boyle the first year of Raymond. He took me to dinner. He would take me to dinner. He would say, let's go here. There's a lot of celebrities there. You like it. And we'd go to dinner, and he would be the celebrity that everybody was. You know? Just the coolest guy, you know, to know. And, it's great that we can honor him and try to find a cure for this disease.
Yeah, he was a great man. Definitely missed. This 10th anniversary International Male Woma Foundation Comedy Celebration is going to be honoring Peter Boyle's widow in the event chair, by the way. And it's $50, comedy.myeloma.org. And it's coming up on November 5th at 6 o'clock at the Wilshire Ebell Theater with all those great comedians hosted by Ray Romano.
You missed a couple comedians. J.B. Smooth, Dom Irra, and one of my favorite comedians of all time, Larry Miller.
Larry Miller will be there, too. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yes. Hell of a lineup. Ray, thanks for jumping on with us, man. We always enjoy catching up. We appreciate the time.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
Don't forget, you're minutes away from yet more tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. We've got them for you starting at 9 a.m. today, all this week, up until 9 p.m. You can win them every hour. Details at krock.com. So, Allie.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. There was not a...
Hello?
We sounded like you were going to ask a question.
Can he not hear us?
Maybe not.
Oh, now we're back. That was weird. I think it was I think I hit a button. I'm sorry. I apologize. I think I hit a button and I lost you.
So Allie went to the dentist.
Uh-huh. Here's the thing. I went to a new dentist, and my old dentist used to give you a pair of headphones, and then there was a TV on the ceiling. So he gave you headphones and a remote.
Genius.
You were set.
Yeah,
yeah,
high
you're
tech.
Just,
wow.
Yeah, you're just watching TV. There was no pressure. Mm-hmm. And by pressure, of where to look. Because you're looking at the ceiling. You're watching TV.
Right.
I went to a new dentist. No TV.
Did you point that out first thing?
Absolutely. I was like, hey, where's the thing in the ceiling? Where do you look, Kevin? Do you look at the dentist or the hygienist that's scraping your teeth? And if you do, how long do you look him in the eyes? Do you find
the
something?
Whole time.
No.
Do I lock eyes?
See, you probably wink.
I lock eyes a couple of winks.
No! See, it terrified me, thinking, oh, gosh, I just looked at him. She looked at me. Now what?
No,
oh, no.
Now you have to kiss is the answer.
I don't think...
I would close my eyes, is my
see,
answer.
I put a poll up on my Twitter, and I said, serious question. Do you lock eyes with your dentist or hygienist when you're getting your teeth examined or cleaned? Oh.
Right?
No, it is not
that
kind of...
That's one of the options.
No.
All right.
And 11% said, of course. 32% said, my eyes are sealed shut. And then 57% said, look elsewhere, anywhere. So do you find somewhere on the ceiling and just focus on it? Are your eyes darting around? And do dentists and hygienists think you're a complete creep if you're looking at them?
That's why I'm glad you brought this topic up, because we all know what it's like to go to the dentist to be the patient. What's it like to be the other person? What's it like to be the dentist or the hygienist? What are they thinking about us? What do they wish we would do? Nope.
Nope. Yeah, no.
Well,
what is
could be?
You know, you're right. In you some cases,
you don't know.
Yeah.
They could be thinking that.
What is the appropriate behavior for the patient? So right now, I don't think we've ever done this before where we've asked for a specific occupation to call in, but we are looking for people who are dentists or hygienists right now at 1-800-520-1067. Help Allie know what to do. And we have some other questions for you, too, by the way. I think I keep my eyes closed, too, except when the dentist starts talking to me. And because then I feel
don't
then
get
I feel
me
like,
started on that.
And why are they talking to us? We can't answer.
I feel like you're being rude if you're just sitting there in the chair with your eyes closed because it makes it look like you're ignoring them or not paying
right.
attention to them. So I kind of open my eyes when they start talking just so they know that I'm awake and I hear
and
them.
Alert.
And do you look at them in the eye?
I feel like he does.
You do, don't you?
No, I think you do. When somebody's talking to you.
The Louisiana creeper comes out.
I think in any circumstance, if somebody is talking to you, you look them in the eye,
but
don't
you? But you're so close to the dentist or the hygienist.
That's also very awkward.
You're so, I mean, you're not even a foot away
right.
in most cases.
Right.
Yeah,
so
the
that's
whole
why
experience
you
is awkward.
You don't wink, Kevin. That is the last thing you should do.
And that's
so
what
weird.
Always comes to my mind
it's
first.
So
what's
weird.
The worst thing I can do right now? Wink. Done.
All right. So dentists and hygienists, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll get this all worked out so we all know what's appropriate going forward when we take your calls next on K-Rock.
I don't feel like that was the right time. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:37.
Before we go to these calls with Dennis and Hygienist, and Dr. Mike, you please hang on. We're going to close with you because if what you're saying is true, it's going to change the way forever we think about going to the dentist. Allie, what's the setup for folks just joining us here on this topic?
So I went to a new dentist, and I would usually go to a dentist that had a TV on the roof of the ceiling, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I had somewhere to look. This new dentist didn't have it. So then, oh, God, do I look right at the dentist? Do I look somewhere else in the room? Where do I look? Because I don't want to creep out my new hygienist. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what I did because I just started
did
looking.
Did you lock eyes?
I did. And then I was like, And then
did
I
you
started.
Just, like, look away?
Yes, I looked away really quick. And I can tell I tensed up. And I thought, these poor people must have creepy people like Bean all the time just
right?
staring at them.
Right?
Well, I don't know why you have to pick me out. I don't
oh,
do
sorry,
that.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Let's talk to Maurice. She's on line 4 in Lake Forest. She is a dentist. She'll be first up on this topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maurice, thank you so much for calling in. So what do you want to see your patients doing when they're in the chair with their eyes?
I want to see them close their eyes because I hate it when they lock eyes with me. It makes me sick.
Really? It makes you sick?
Yes.
So,
you know, when I'm the patient, you know, when my friends are working on me, I always close my eyes because I know how uncomfortable it is when someone's staring into my eyes. So, you know, even though if they're my close friends, I'll just close my eyes. It just makes me feel more comfortable.
Okay, so why do you suppose the patients are staring at you?
They're curious. Maybe they like my mascara. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I have nice eyes, you know, I think so. But honestly, I think they're just curious or they're...
Maybe they're looking for some type of tenseness in your face.
Like a reaction.
Like an uh-oh moment.
Yes, like with flight attendants. You automatically stare at them if there's turbulence.
Maybe. I've never looked at a flight attendant during turbulence. I just kind of, you know, I kind of enjoy the turbulence, believe it or not. But
okay.
What?
All right. Well, you're a weirdo.
I don't know.
That's a whole other topic. That's a whole other topic we don't have time for.
All right, Maurice, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go up to L.A. Line 3, please. Let's get Adam on. He is also a dentist. Adam, what's your verdict on patients, whether they close their eyes, stare at you, look away? What should they do?
For them to close their eyes.
Oh, you're cutting in and out, unfortunately.
It makes my job, because you got things flying all over the place, instruments here, and...
Adam, I'm sorry, we can't hear you. Your phone's cutting in and out, but close the eyes was his answer. Close
all right,
eyes.
Let's go to Hollywood Line 5. This is going to be Amanda. She's a hygienist.
All right. Hi Amanda.
Kevin.
Hi.
I'm a hygienist, and I think it's really creepy when patients look at me in the eye.
Okay, so does that happen a lot?
It's not as much as you would think, but we have TVs in our office, but sometimes, like, patients just choose to stare right at my face, and I try not to look, but there's moments where... our eyes lock, and it just gets really awkward, and I feel like I can't have conversation with them after because it's too weird.
All right, Amanda, I'm glad you brought up conversation. What's the deal with dentists and hygienists who ask you questions when you can't possibly respond because you've got your mouth full of tools?
I try not to ask so many questions. I just try and give, like, a, are you okay? And then if they do, like, a uh-huh, while they're, like, gagging on spit, then I think they're okay.
That's so sexy.
Oh, no, please don't.
That's
no,
not okay.
That's not what she meant.
Amanda, what while you're talking about gagging on spit, what leads a person into being a dental hygienist? What was it about the job that attracted you?
Well, I was a dental assistant at first, and I just kind of had done that just to go to school and do something. Mm-hmm. And then over time, I was like, oh, well, I'm already here, so might as well go back to school and get something that gets paid more. But
right.
I like once you get involved in it and everything, it's kind of interesting.
Okay. All right, good enough. We appreciate the call. Thanks so much. Let's go to Daniel, also a hygienist. He's on line 8. He's in Cyprus. He's got a little bit of a different strategy.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are good. Thank you.
Hey, you know what? I just love locking eyes with my patients every single morning.
Oh, you don't
know. It's my favorite thing in the world.
So if people are staring right at your eyes, you lock eyes with them actively.
Absolutely. The best part is, you know, I'm wearing my mask, so I have no idea what I'm doing under my mask with my mouth.
I
so it's hilarious.
Don't
what,
like this.
What are you doing underneath your mask?
No. Exactly. Oh, I'm mouthing words. I'm smiling. I'm laughing at them. They have no idea because all they can see is my eyes.
Oh, my God. I'm now terrified.
Yeah, you should be terrified.
The only way you can make it worse is if you wear a clown mask.
Daniel,
it's a good time. I'm fucking spit and laughing the whole time.
All right, two more. Let's go to Freddie.
He's got a dental assistant. He had a dental boner, I'm pretty sure.
Freddie's in Long Beach. He's on line 2. He's a dental assistant. Let's see what he's got.
Hey, Freddie.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you know, what do you do? Do you want patients to stare at you or not?
Usually when patients stare at us, either left or right, because doctors on one side and the dentist is on the other side,
mm-hmm.
we usually know that they're scared.
Oh, that's a sign of being scared. What about locking eyes, though? Because I can see looking at you if you're scared, but if you lock...
Yeah, well, the locking will let us know that they're scared.
They're scared.
So we have to reassure them that everything's under control, pretty much go over the treatment all over again, even though we've been through it like so many times already.
Wow, that would be super annoying if I was just looking at you and I wasn't scared, though. Right? He keeps explaining
right?
it. I get it. I'm not an idiot. I get it. Stop
I'm
telling me.
I'm just a creep.
I'm just a creep. Let me creep on you.
But a look is better than getting your hand squeezed.
Oh, does that happen sometimes? Patients will squeeze your hand?
Again, I don't think
that. Sometimes patients want to hold your hand and they'll grip and squeeze.
Patients don't want to hold your hand. Really? Hey, Freddie,
I got a question
for you that I just thought of. Some of this anesthesia that you use, is it the truth serum-y, the truth serum-y type? Is that the right word?
I mean, we know what you mean.
Yeah.
We know what you mean.
Do you ever get patients who just talk when they're on that gas and they say inappropriate things?
Yeah, that usually happens with the OS, the oral surgeon. He's the one that gets them all giddy, you know, and usually when they wake up, they're all talking about some conversation they had like 2-3 days ago.
Wow.
And they think that they're with that person.
And you guys take video of that, right? And you've got a big archive, right?
I hope you got a YouTube channel, man. All right, Freddie, thank you for the call, sir. Let's close with Mike. He is a dentist, and he is on line 1, and I think he's going to blow our minds.
All right, hi, Mike.
Hey, I want to give you guys props and show appreciation for let us bag on patients for once. But honestly, we're so used to getting grilled on Yelp and everything else.
All right.
So
this is your chance.
Yeah, you guys have a very difficult job, so we appreciate that you're there to do it.
Cool. So we give our patients dark sunglasses, and they get to watch TV. And for eye protection, close your eyes. But there's so many things to share with you, but the one that I knew you'd get a kick out of is we can generally tell when a patient has had oral sex with a male the night before because they get bruises on their palate. Much like Michael Phelps in the Olympics, like he saw those bruises on his back.
But that was from cupping. Bruises the mouth that much?
It bruises the palate nowhere near that much. Imagine that of tiny little dots.
Maybe they got Captain Crunch or something. Not literally the captain, but like the cereal. Could that be it?
No. It's petechia, which is just tiny little bruises from the suction that's created from performing oral sex. And we have a secret Facebook group page with about 15,000 dentists.
God.
All we do is post pictures of patients with.
This is frightening.
You're posting pictures of patients' mouths that you know have done this?
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, we don't reveal their names or anything. It's just the
palate. Oh, well, then that's okay.
And we just laugh all day. It's just
my God.
Mike, you're
no idea.
You're twisted.
Are you real? Are you really a dentist?
He can't be.
I am real, and unfortunately, the worst thing that ever happened is that one of my cousins was my patient, and I saw her.
I'm out. Night, everyone.
Nope. And every time your mom says, how about some free dental care, you're like, no, Mom, no.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Doing a poll? Poll over there?
By the way, this is very troubling news. Allie, you heard from a guy who's married to a dental hygienist?
He called his wife, who's a hygienist, after he heard caller Mike say that dentists and hygienists can tell if you have given oral.
Right.
While you're at the dentist.
Right.
And, I'm freaked out now.
And
she said, yep, verified it.
Verified. That's a thing.
I am terrified. Like, what if your dad was your dentist?
What?
How awful.
That doesn't apply to a lot of people.
That's a pretty unique situation. I can't operate on this patient. It's my child.
But she's been putting in work.
That's a thing, though, that dentists can tell. Now I know why they all look at me so weird.
Wait, what? Hey, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning.
Louisiana Creeper.
What's going
on? I need a new jingle.
Oh, God.
She's back.
Who's back?
Better than ever. Laura Benanti. Benanti.
And how do we know her, Ralph?
You know her from, so many things. She is Supergirl's mom and evil aunt.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
She was also on Nashville.
She played
the victim of spousal abuse. Was also a smash hit country star for Raina James.
She was fantastic on that show.
She's in the Playboy Club.
She's a Broadway musical star as well. Legend. Just a terrifically funny, talented lady. And you may remember that Stephen Colbert had her on his show to play Melania Trump after her speech at the national convention for the Republicans when she plagiarized Michelle Obama. And she did a very funny sketch. Well, Melania's been back in the news because she has been going around doing CNN and Fox, doing interviews with them, talking about how she's forgiven her husband's locker room talk.
Yeah.
And how it really was offensive and how Billy Bush goaded him into it. And that was my favorite one.
Wow.
She said Billy Bush egged him on. And that's why he did what he did. So Stephen Colbert had her on to interview her as Melania Trump. It's a very funny video. You can find it online this morning from last night's show. But here's a little taste of Laura Benanti returning as Melania Trump.
We need to focus on important issues facing our nation, like how the election is rigged.
Really? Who's rigging it?
The left-wing media, international bankers, and
Billy Bush? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't blame your husband for what he said?
Yes, I do. I said to my husband that those words are very inappropriate. Plus, he said them on a bus. Disgusting.
Yeah, she doesn't like that he was on a bus. That's what the offensive part was. Congratulations to our buddy Doug Benson. He's got a new TV show.
All right.
Yeah. It's called The High Court.
Wait, Doug Benson is doing something that's marijuana related?
He'll be making fun of various syndicated court programs in a string of 15-minute shows where he'll play Judge Doug, who gets high before he goes into the courtroom and then rules on real small claims court cases.
Love it.
So people who want their money will come in to see Judge Doug, and he'll be baked, and then he'll decide who gets the money. That'll be early next year. 15-minute shows. Comedy Central. I was working on a whole bunch of 15-minute TV series for Kevin's.
Right. I did like that about Children's Hospital. It was like about 11 minutes. I did enjoy that.
Yeah.
I know that there's been a lot of talk about the shortening attention span of the public, and I think it is true. I mean, don't you guys seriously stop and think twice whether you want to commit to an hour-long show at this point?
Well, yeah, because we're busy. You got stuff to do.
Right. I'm just saying we're all like that, though. I mean, then a half hour now starts to seem too long, and now all these 50-minute shows come along for us. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
I don't find an hour show too long.
Really?
No.
But you can't add some because you're too busy. That's just life, right?
In terms of the shows that I watch,
adding
new shows. Yeah, it's difficult. You have to be selective. But I enjoy hour-long dramas. I like long-form television. I don't have attention deficit syndrome.
I do.
Yeah, apparently Bean does too. I like a nice chunk.
Look, you're willing to put up with 3 hours of The Bachelorette, so
right.
You are a different breed.
I have attention span.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what was I saying? Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow, 71 years old today. Evander Holyfield is 54. John Favreau turns 50. Trey Parker turns 47 years old. And Gillian Jacobs turns 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
Sheriff's looking for the Louisiana Creeper.
Hey, congratulations to Leroy Patterson. Not a lot of Leroys in the world anymore, I don't think. I don't meet him anyway.
Leroy, you're my friend.
He is from...
talking about, A? And B, Bean, you don't meet anyone. What are you talking about?
But I just don't meet a lot of Leroys.
Right, you don't meet anyone.
You don't see a lot of Leroys. I'm just glad to see that that's still a name that exists.
Me too.
Makes me happy as well.
Pretty sad about the end of Leroys.
Won tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. We got them for you every hour, all day long, right up until 9 p.m. tonight. You can get the details at KROQ.com and win your tickets next hour with Kat. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. Well, that makes me think of something. Universal Studios in Hollywood.
Yes, yes.
This Friday will be the site of our K-Rock Vein Drain Blood Drive.
Yay!
Things kick off at 5 a.m., so you can come by and give blood before you head off to work or school. But they'll be taking blood all the way up until 1 p.m. in the afternoon. So come down, give some blood. I will be broadcasting live from there Friday morning. Kevin and Bean and Allie and Chip will not be broadcasting live from there because they don't...
We don't care about
want
people.
...want to save lives
right.
or help people.
Right, right.
But if you come by, you can get stuff. We're giving away tons of prizes just for coming on down, including tickets to Panic at the Disco, Bad Religion, Festival Supreme, Danny Elfman's Halloween Show at the Bowl, 21 Pilots, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and
right.
more. So come on down, won't you? I'm waiting for an answer.
Yes.
That would be great. Yes. Can't wait.
This kid doesn't come down. Right?
Right?
Pluck his eyeballs right out of his head.
It's Halloween.
Worst. Play the good one. If you play the bad one, you got to play the good one.
That is the good one.
It's not the good one.
Please.
It's awful. Oh, never mind.
I behind my... Outside my window, Halloween spooks behind a tree.
Right?
She's a bitch.
Oh, she's the best kid ever.
No! You're the worst.
Kevin's a dick. Right? Who's with me?
Such a dick.
She's the cutest kid ever.
Gwen Stefani's coming back to The Voice. She will be back as one of the four coaches for the next season of The Voice. It's 12th, by the way. In spring of 2017, she will join Alicia Keys, Blake Shelton, and Adam Levine.
Levine.
And then after that, in the fall, they're going to bring him back again, and then Miley Cyrus is going to return. So Gwen won't be committed for too long, but she'll be able to come and go as she pleases. She's great on that show.
She seems sincerely interested in helping the kids.
The kids.
Yeah, the contestants that come through, the young people who want to sing for a living.
30, 40-year-olds.
She does it for the kids. Speaking of the kids, congratulations to Diana Agron. Remember her from Glee?
Yes,
yeah,
she played
I do.
Quinn on that series. She just got married over the weekend to Winston Marshall. Does that name sound familiar to anyone? Winston Marshall?
Sort of. Why?
He's from Mumford & Sons.
Oh.
Is he the banjo player?
I think he plays the scrub board.
Is that a euphemism?
He's got a long career ahead of him, then. We'll never grow tired of that instrument.
No. Yeah, he plays the washboard, I think, with those thimbles on his fingers.
What's wrong with you?
Look, remember you can mock it, but he married a cheerleader from Glee.
That's
right?
True.
So he's doing okay.
In Marrakesh, Morocco. That's where their wedding. You're talking about a destination wedding.
Wow.
Marrakesh. Her wedding gown, by the way, cost $20,500.
Wow.
Right?
I am not shocked by that.
Wow. Why aren't you?
Because wedding gowns are ridiculous.
The entire wedding industry is a complete ripoff.
And I feel like that's what women are spending their money on,
that's
is the dress.
Madness.
It's insanity.
That is madness.
This is outrageous.
For a dress you're going to wear once?
Yep. It's crazy.
That is way too much. Pay for a wedding dress. You should have got one for much less. That's too much money. That's too much money.
Not cool.
Carrie Mulligan was at the wedding.
Okay.
You know why?
She's married to one of the other Mumfords.
She's married to Marcus Mumford. So they all got together, and it was a big hootenanny. They had a jug they were blowing into, and they had a wash tub turned upside down with a broom handle and a string on it playing bass.
Sure.
And it was a good time was had by all.
You know, the wedding didn't happen in 1850, right?
Then they get out there. Banjos. Buck Owens and Roy Clark came on. Everybody was sitting
are
on
they
the
still
hay
alive?
Bag. I have no idea.
Neither of them are.
Junior Samples?
Nope. Also dead.
Listing dead
Mini,
people now.
Mini Pearl?
Just also
listing,
dead.
Listing dead people.
Every one of them.
That's not a fun wedding.
Bunch of corpses strewn about.
Right?
Yeah.
That would suck.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Lithgow. Lithgow, Lithgow. What do you say?
Lithgow,
I think.
I say Lithgow. I could be wrong, but I do remember us having him on the Kevin and Bean show a few years ago, and oh, what a delight he was.
He is a champion.
Really
fun. Such a good guy. 71 years old today. Vander Holyfield is 54. John Favreau turns 50 today. Trey Parker.
Something strange.
No.
In your neighborhood. Who you going to call?
Ghostbusters! Trey.
What? Something weird.
Trey Parker.
Ray Parker?
Trey Parker.
Ghostbusters!
T-R-E-Y. Trey.
Trey
Parker.
Oh.
Creator of South Park. He's 47 years old. Not Ray Parker. Although I understand why you probably like it. Ray Parker. Right? Rape Parker.
That's why you like it.
What are you talking about?
Rape Parker. That's why you like
it
so much.
That's not funny.
Sexual assaulter.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know what's happening, but
I
do not like it.
Three women right here that say you sexually assaulted them. They're in the audience right now.
There's another debate tonight, isn't there?
There is.
Oh, Lord.
And Gillian Jacobs is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as a beat.
Take her off on your drive home today. Listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we introduce you to Joe Exotic for president.
Yes!
Finally, we have an alternative choice.
We have Jim Rome talking sports. We have Dr. Drew and a new feature called What's Wrong With You? Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.